June 29, 2021. It's the Walk for Pedro show.
Mm-hmm.
Walk for Pedro show. Happy Tuesday. We started a show off Blue Train. This is John Coltrane live in Stockholm, 1961. And after that, we had Breathing Room. Only an excerpt, a very little excerpt. Andrea Williams. And Brother Matt and the Love Grotto on the Pleasure Point, a couple miles south, still quick quarantino mode, but slowly moving now. However, I'm not man alone. Because of those software engineers in Estonia with a righteous Skype invention, I got Andrea Williams with me. Welcome aboard, Andrea.
Hi, it's a pleasure to be here.
Please bring us your earliest musical recollection.
Musical recollection. I remember being told I'm not allowed to touch the stereo system in the record player of my dad's, and I was probably three, and I moved all the furniture that I could, and I remember the feeling of these big, giant headphones covering my whole head, and I put on the Kraftwerk Trans-Europe Express album.
Great album.
Yeah, I think they all looked like my dad going to work. I was like, Daddy's! Like, so I was just like, Dad! You know, and then just, like, played that and just...
You know, we lost one, a Florian Schneider, last year.
Yeah. Terrible. I never got to...
I saw him a bunch. I saw him a bunch live. You know, even going back to, I think it was Man Machine. And Computer mm-hmm. World and Radioactivity.
Yeah.
And that stuff.
Wow.
And then I saw it with only two of them. I never saw the, what they call Ralph Works, right? Because they ended up with Ralph Hooter and three guys with the same haircut. So, in this pad, was there a musical instrument? Well, there was a stereo. And so, believe it or not, people have been on the show. They tell me that's an instrument. What? I plugged into that shit.
Yeah.
Just like the tape recorder or something. But was there things like, pianos or guitars?
We had a piano at some point in the house when I was in elementary school, and my brother and I just liked to improvise, and, we were apparently pretty good. You know, we could just sense and make these emotional kind of quality pieces, but, my mom was like, you need lessons, and I was like, I didn't really want to be told how to play. That was an early problem of mine. It turned out to be a good thing, but it,
You mean you did have the experience, and it wasn't a bad one.
Yeah, yeah, but it was slightly out of tune. I think I had a really good
No, no, like, I mean with the teacher. I've had guests on that almost made him quit music.
Yeah, I think the teacher was maybe fine in elementary school. I think it was that I wasn't challenged enough. Like, I could memorize the song, and there was, like, Frosty the Snowman. You know, I'd be like, I'm done. Okay, I can play it. What's next, you know? And I wasn't really challenged musically. And so I didn't really care to learn notes. So I think I was told, you have to learn the notes, or we're not going to teach you anymore, or you can't be in band or whatever. So I took apart the saxophone at home and, like, played all, like, I was probably
saxophone.
Like, John
Thorny. I'm confused saxophone. Here. But
I played alto saxophone in elementary school.
No, but I'm talking about the piano. You had piano lessons?
No, I never.
You had saxophone lessons in school. Okay. Well, you know, I'm working on the mind reading, but I'm going to still have to use words until I get there.
Sorry. It is very hot here. Probably my brain's probably a little melty today.
No, it's okay. It's okay. So I'm trying to absorb this thing. So at home, you let the freak flag fly. You, your brother, improviser. But at school, because I was going to ask you about, did you do the school band or choir or marching stuff?
So
you got the saxophone.
Well, I did saxophone, and
you take it apart. That's righteous.
Yeah, like I played the little duck calls on the little mouthpiece, and I took the, where the sound comes out, and put it up against my leg, and like muffled it. And I saw John Zorn in New York City.
I think they call that
the
bell.
Yeah, I saw John Zorn, you know, 10 years later or something, and I was like, wow, okay, I did that one.
You know what? I saw Archie Shepp solo, and he was singing into the bell of his sax.
Old
spirituals.
Wow.
With Raymond Pettibone at a place called Catalina up in Hollywood. Yeah, and it was a trip, and you could hear him breathe through it, and it was a very righteous experience. So, you quit the band at school and that kind of stuff. Oh, well, let's get back to back at home. What was the first record you bought with your own money?
With my own money? Or you mean
because when you're a kid, you don't have a lot of money. So when you buy something, right?
Gosh, I didn't have my own money till college, maybe. I don't know.
Never? Like an allowance or like cutting the lawn?
I didn't have an allowance. Okay. No, they were like, you get to live here. Okay, you are allowed to live here.
Then Watt asked a bad fucking question.
I mean, I was given a bit of money for like my first albums I bought at like a bazaar, like a church bazaar or something. Not like a flea market, but I don't know. They like, you walk around and they sell stuff, and I was given a bit of money, and I bought with it two albums. So I was maybe in kindergarten or first grade, I don't know, something like that. I was little. And I bought Michael Jackson's Thriller.
Oh, yeah.
And Hall & Oates H2O.
Yeah, he's a great singer, Daryl Hall.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Incredible.
Yeah,
voice.
I mean, I grew up in the 80s, and that was like a big deal to get the Michael Jackson. I mean, the production quality was pretty good.
That's Quincy Thriller. Jones, right?
Yeah,
and actually,
yeah.
You know what he had Mike Jackson use for singing, Mike, was the SM7, you know, what they use in radio stations,
uh-huh.
A $300 mic, yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So what about the first gig you went and saw?
I don't know. I was trying to think of this. I know you asked these questions. It was probably, I grew up near Philadelphia in New Jersey.
Daryl Hall!
Yeah.
John Oates, what did John Oates do?
He was like the buddy, Motown, right? And... you know, stuff like that. And also in the 80s, there was this throwback to the 50s, like it was cool or something. And I think my parents took me to see Sha Na Na.
Sure.
Like Bowser, like the acapella, like all these different ranges of voices,
yeah.
Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of cheesy, but I you know, it's sound, you know.
Sha Na Na, you know, believe it or not, they were at Woodstock, right? Because I remember seeing a film of this shit, a midnight movie as a teenager. When they came out, everybody was booing. Bunch of stoners, right? This is my dad's music, you know, because 70s people were so fucked up. They wouldn't listen to shit even 5 years old. Like, this is my dad. You know, a kid now will listen to 50-year-old Black Sabbath. There's no problem. But in those days, there was a huge problem of narcissism, the 70s generation.
Well, they wanted a bit changed, you know, so I guess.
Yeah, I think humans flock around trends, and they're not even thinking. They're in some kind of cruise control. not all the time, just some of the time. I want to play this Family Rainforest you sent me. Another excerpt.
Oh,
Thank you. Thank you. Cortarlo. Eso le ya quité un pedazo. Ven aquí. Qué padre.
Watch for Pedro Show. That chunk of music started with Family Rainforest and excerpts. I found out, people, why they're excerpts, because Andrea loops these things at installations. Because I said, you could have brought the whole enchilada. Now, Watt is slow learner. And then we had, like I was telling you about, Eric Hardiman, Parallel Systems. This is System 14, the Rambutan Project. Mike Bullock, Anla Curtis, mm-hmm. Jefferson Pitcher, Paul Haney, and Eric Hardiman. Then we had Snare Bone Duo for Crank Sturgeon from Al Margolis. Chester, New York. Not Troy, but Chester. And you probably know where it is because it's along that, what's it called, Hudson River Valley or some shit?
Yeah, okay. That's where we are.
Bombus Prendon, No Harmonica, out of D.C. area. Co-ed, brand new, Can't Fake. Then Black Rainbow. Vice Cooler just asked me to do a bass for a version of him, and there's a lady playing guitar now in Bikini Kill. I think her name's Erica, and so I put bass to it. This version's acoustic, never was. And then finally, Andrea Williams with San Frangler.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Okay. That's a trippy one. So, okay. Now, besides the taking apart saxophone and that piano thing, can I ask you about, like, after school, not graduating, but in the afternoon, did you do garage bands, bedroom bands, basement bands?
I mean, my teenage years, I didn't. I actually was, like, an artist hiding in the art room at school, and then after school, I did sports. I just kept myself busy, I guess. Like, I ran track and played soccer and stuff like that. I had a lot of energy. but in elementary school, going back there, I actually had an all-girl band. I think we were called the Nasty Girls.
What'd you play?
Like Janet Jackson. I played the Casio keyboard, a really tiny one. I'm forgetting the model. It's really small, and, like, you can get it in, like, white or, like, all these pastel colors. It's the 80s. And I would purposely let the battery run down and for practice. And then I was basically doing, audio hacking or something, you know, where the circuit was broken, kind of. And sure. Then it was doing weird sounds. So it was...
You were taking advantage of that.
So it's kind of like circuit bending in a very basic level, I guess. Yeah,
tell me about the first...
I didn't know what that was. I just discovered it by accident. Was like, this is our band. We're gonna have this. And there was like a girl on drums and a saxophone player. And it probably just sounded awful weird. And I wish I had recordings, like, because it probably was actually pretty good in
tell
a bad
me,
way.
Tell me about the first Nasty Girls gig.
Oh, I don't think we had a gig. We just played in my friend's basement.
Okay, and practice band.
I wanted kids to come over, but then the drum set was really the brothers, and he would get mad and, like, chase us all away.
Can I ask about the material? Were you trying to copy songs off records, or were you writing your own stuff?
No, it was actually fairly, like, improv, and then we would be like, okay, let's repeat that. And it was pretty fun, but normally it was just, like, it just dissolved into, you know, the brother and sister fighting, and then we had to go home.
So you were, you were trying to do... See, I asked this because when I was a kid, you know, me and Dee Boone, everybody we knew in Pedro here only copied off records. No one tried to write their own songs.
Really?
Oh. I wouldn't shit you, Andrea. No, there was a big cultural shift, at least here in Pedro, for a couple of us, because there wasn't many punk rockers. But when the movement came, one of the big deals wasn't funny hair. I mean, that was okay, too. And playing fast. It was writing your own songs. I know that sounds really naive and stupid now. But there's just nobody did it. They all, you know, the best guy in town was the guy who could play Black Dog the best.
Yeah.
You never thought of music as a way to express yourself. It was more like building models. Kind of looks like the real thing, but it ain't.
Yeah. It is good, though, to be able to have foundational skills.
Maybe, whatever. Look, whatever your life is about, I think it leads you to here. And that's why I think there's a billion ways to do it. And that's why I ask everybody to tell their story on my show. That's what it's about. Give confidence to other cats out there who might think they're doing it the wrong way. There ain't no wrong way. Now, I'm embarrassed by what we did, but that's what we did. And that's why I'm here and why I really take to heart people who write original music. Although covers can be good, especially if you reinterpret them. So what do you do after the Nasty Girls?
I think I just listen to doo-wop and pop music. Like, I listen to the radio. I didn't really have many influences in my life with music or except, you know, those hidden records downstairs that I sometimes listen to, I guess. You know, I listen to Mike Oldenfield? Is it Tubular Bells?
Yeah.
Like, he did the score for The Exorcist.
Right, Linda Blair. Yeah.
Yeah, I was actually really into that.
The head's spinning around. Me and Dee Boone saw that the week it came out by accident. It was here at the Warner Theater.
By accident?
Well, we didn't know anything about it. You know, there was no hype yet. Same thing happened with Star Wars. We just happened to be in Hollywood that week. And we saw it, and no girls ever cussed in a movie like that. Well, it was Mercedes Cambridge, but. And then went to the lot for some candies, and some cat was having an epileptic seizure. We never saw a grandma seizure. And it was like the movie in a weird way when she's lifting off the. It was fucked up, man. That really shook us up, that whole experience. But anyway, that's good. That's a trippy music. Bing, bing, bing. So, does this get you into electronic stuff?
Yeah, I think I was just early on drawn to it. And I had I guess I didn't know, but similar to Pauline Oliveros, I carried like a tape recorder around when I was little. For me, it was kind of like instead of a doll, I had a handle, and it was just this tape recorder. And I would do things like a journal, I guess use it like a journal and talk about my day and sing and stuff. And then when my little brother got older, we started fake radio shows. I don't have a name for it, I don't think. I don't remember if there was a name, but I had little skits on there. And my mom taught aerobics. She actually had this boombox, and so I would have two of them. And I learned how to record TV shows, splice them up, and then record the radio show over it. So there'd be, like, little kids talking and joking about farts, but then you'd hear this, like, interesting mashup of, like, MASH, the show, like you'd hear about, what was it, Vietnam or something? I don't remember.
It was Korea. The theme song was Suicide is Painless.
Yeah, it was really dark, right? Really, really serious stuff.
Well, I remember asking my mom about black humor because it was on the second Blue Oyster Cult sticker on the album cover. And she said, Michael Watt, read Joseph Heller, Catch 22.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So I had to read this whole book as a teenager to find out what black humor is. So it's funny, but it ain't really funny.
Yeah. It was pretty. I found it later. I don't know if I can find that tape again, but I wish I could. So I also had neighborhood kids come over. Like, I was little, but they were older than me, my friends in the neighborhood. And I had a neighborhood joke show. So I think I'm saying this, all this stuff seemed to influence my work later in life.
I hear in your pieces.
Like community? Like community?
Yeah. And your engagement. Pieces. In your pieces, I hear a lot of voices and shit. And I thought you were taping people at the mall.
Yeah. Oh, so you played the sample of the Family Rainforest?
Yeah.
Okay. So that one, this is skipping way ahead, but I have a very large extended family, and my cousin was taking photos my grandma was really old at the time or something, and wanted, you know, to have these family photos of everyone. And everyone made it and showed up, and I had gone to the Amazon rainforest in 2007 around this time, and I recorded people's memories, sound memories there, like so people who were indigenous to the area, and I had a translator because people were speaking Portuguese. This was Brazil, the Brazilian rainforest, and long story short, I came back to Brooklyn, and I was finally affording a hard drive. Like, it's not as easy as it is now to get hard drives.
Believe me. I remember when a 5-meg hard drive cost $10,000.
Yeah, it was so expensive. So I was in a
When I went to college, my programs were on cards. In fact, in high school, they trained me how to fix the machines that punch the cards. Wow. Yeah, all that shit's all over. We use slide rules.
People have no idea, like, younger people have no idea what it's like to try and, like, document your work, like, record and have files and stuff. But I had it all in my computer because I was waiting for the hard drive to show up. I worked, like, three jobs in New York City waiting for a hard drive to show up. That's so funny to think about now. But anyway, so it was middle of the day or something, and I was mugged at gunpoint, and they took my laptop, and I chased them down. I was ready to get shot, so I could have my recordings. And but anyway, they were stolen.
Ray Davies in New Orleans, right? He got shot chasing a guy for a purse.
Really?
Yeah. But he wasn't killed, but.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't go far, I went to the door and I let it go. I really thought they just wanted to use the internet because it said Wi-Fi on a sign outside, and I was like, no, this is mine. I was like, you want to check email here? Then I realized they had guns. I'm like, oh.
So, Andrea, did you go to college for music?
Let me finish the story, though.
Oh, okay.
Basically, that piece that you played is my amazing family, who's not into the weird stuff I'm into, kindly reenacting the rainforest for me in a church hall. So there's a bunch of people chattering, and then they're on stage getting photographs. And I said, before we jump down, can I just ask you to do one thing? So it actually sounds a lot like the rainforest, like the bandwidth and like all their chatter. So I end up using – I've used that piece in that sample in a lot of works of mine, live and things like that. It's just – so anyway. That's
no, the rainforest has a lot of no, the wildlife in a rainforest because there's so much competition.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, and I have a really large extended family. It's very similar.
And they got the parrots and the toucans and, you know, all that. Yeah, it's wild. Brother Matt's been there. He's been to the Peruvian part. It's not all in Brazil. You know, there's pink dolphins. People surf the fucking Amazon. Yeah, it's trippy.
Yeah,
one
yeah.
day I want to go. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, June 29, 2021, Dish Wap Pedro Show. Special guest, Andrea Williams. Hold tight for hour two. June 29, 2021. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Temporary peace. We felt that we would break it down and we would just start asking each other, what is peace? How can peace survive now? But remember, there was just 7, 8, 9 weeks passing the talking stick with the pictures of the missing looking at us from all the surfaces, the prayer candles, the little makeshift altars, diaries and feathers and things you couldn't explain, saddles arriving from Utah. I couldn't even figure out where they were mailed to come here. Notes from all over the world. This is Speaker's Corner. This is a part of our international soul. It's a part of the world's soul. And that is why, if you remember, we had media trucks along this curve all around, from all over the world. It made more sense to the world than it did to some of the New Yorkers, who are our so-called official representatives.
How do you do it, my love? Love of my life. How do you put up with me? Such regulated melody. We're off the tracks now, just a pair of rash impulses. We're off the piste now, just a pair of true impulses. My love, love of my life, how do you put up with me? I realize now something you love.
Side.
inside these walls they safely play. Waiting for us to leave them all alone. They don't care, they just want us to go away. We're all headed for the big breeze. Feel it touch your pretty eyes. They don't care, but always say please. A courtesy for a compromise. And how long can you stay there, waiting for me?
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Acoustical Hypocrisy from Andrea Williams. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that with Destitude. I think I pronounced that wrong. Destitude. Destitude. I mean, it's like shit falling apart, an illegal term. Justice Yeldon nearby Sydney with Watch Something. Are You a Cop? Brand new from their record, The Big Breeze. And finally, Silo. And Andrea Williams, I hear you hitting a keyboard there.
Oh, right now?
Yeah. You've got a very sensitive microphone. So, I interrupted your story like an asshole last time, but can I get back to that question? Did you go to college for music?
Not at first, but eventually, yes. I went to Mills College for my master's degree.
Oh, they're going to close it, right? But then I heard it might get saved and move to another place.
Yeah, it's really heartbreaking. It's really,
fuck
like,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I could talk a whole show on that. But, yeah, save Mills. Save Mills.
Absolutely. Well, I they might find a home at another place, right?
Yeah, something like Northwestern. I shouldn't be quoted on this because I haven't had time recently to follow.
And my memory's too, but I had a guest on a couple weeks ago, and they said, don't give up all hope, Watt.
Yeah, it's still globally known, and I mean their ratings overall, even for teaching and a lot of things, they were still with the U.S. News Report, whatever, on colleges is still high up there. So it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, you know, I know it's fucked up, but there's a lot of that shit going on. That's why we gotta keep up the struggle, right? Now, tell me, relate your college experience with music.
I think for me, honestly, I was going to get my master's so I could teach because I really wanted to be a teacher. And then they started asking for master's degrees. I was in New York City. I enjoyed my band, the Glass Bees, and performing with lots of people in New York City, collaborators, and just being there. But I couldn't quite get a degree there, so I moved away. But I feel like I was a bit old, like an older student, I guess. So I had a lot of experience playing shows and gallery stuff and things like that already. I honestly felt it was a little oppressive, which is not how I think the undergrads came into it, straight from undergrad. For them, it was like expansive. And for me, it was honestly a little, I enjoyed working at the concert hall, so all the performers coming through. I got to perform with David Dunn. I don't know if a lot of people know who that is.
Wow. Can I ask you this? This is what people have been on the show that said, when you go to an institution, they got equipment that you could never afford.
Yeah.
So that's
kind
of a resource. It's maybe not a human one.
There was sound devices. I got to do better, it was more clean recordings. There was, all the old, oh my God, I have some recordings of just friends with the synthesizers all like playing together, like just unplugging, plugging in and just hearing wackadoodle stuff happen. That was just fun. Yeah, I felt like I love the concert hall. It's hard for me to talk about, I think, because it's like, oh, man, the Littlefield Concert Hall, it's gorgeous. And it was just redone, I think, in 2019.
Yeah.
All these murals and the acoustics and, the soundboard. I think it was Yamaha M7 or, I don't know, one of those giant digital boards. And 8 speakers, you could send sound all around with, Max MSP or something. You can just create amazing stuff in there.
You mentioned the Glass Bees, and I want to play this piece you sent me, The Probe.
Thank you. Thank you.
for Pedro show. That chunk of music started off with the Glass Bees doing the Probe live. Then we had Head Boggle. He was on last month. Press Shuffle Bass. Yeah, maybe there's some bass guitar there. Interesting cat. Railroad Spike forms The Voice. This is part 4 of 5 of a concert Roscoe Mitchell did with Sandy Ewan, Damon Smith, and Weasel Walter. And then finally, Sleepwalks with an excerpt from, well, it's an untitled excerpt, people. But it's from Andrea Williams' Sleepwalks project. So, tell me about the Glass Bees.
So Glass Bees was Jason Doss and Christopher Williams, no relation to me that I know of. But they already were a band, Glass Bees, and they rehearsed in the old West Beth, like where Merce Cunningham Dance Company was, and like just this basement where artists live for cheap. So you're in an elevator with like all these amazing old painters, and I don't know, just this energy. But then you're in the basement, and it kind of smells like piss, and it's kind of gross. But there's all this like artist energy, and we. So anyway, they invited me to become first rehearse with them, and because Jason was a neighbor, you know, in a little circle of friends, and I brought laptop, and I forget what they were playing at the time. At some point, Jason had a cello, but anyway, there was a room full of instruments, and we would just jam and listen to each other every Wednesday evening. And they asked me back, is what I'm trying to say. They asked me back, and we would just jam, and then we actually wanted to play out. So we would play shows where I think we looked like Neanderthals just discovering music, like reaching for different objects, and it was hard to tell.
Did you look like or did you sound like?
Oh, I think we sounded like. I don't think we looked like. But I mean.
Because Jake Rodriguez was on, and he said that the Brutal sound effects crew, who we got to give credit to for the connect.
Yeah.
He said it was part of a scene called costume noise. Not just the noise scene, but costume noise. So that's looks like, if you ask me.
Yes. I actually didn't dress up for, I think Rex was upset at me maybe. I didn't dress up, but I said my name was Andrea Williams from Kiss. That was my first playout name. So I was like, you don't realize that without the makeup, someone is female. I was like, yeah, female power. So I made up like funny names to make it look like there's more women in sound field. Yeah. So I went the opposite way.
Back to the Glass Bees. Sorry for the tangent.
But I think we looked, I mean, there was a visual element in that we're searching for instruments, and people might think that Jason's playing this one loop, but actually I'm playing it on the laptop, or Chris is playing it on guitar. And then we switch, and then and then more rhythm happens in layers, and I guess, but we aren't doing the thing where you record the loop and then keep doing it like that, you know, build upon one loop or something, like a loop box. We weren't doing it that way. Anyway, I thought it was really fun, and I left, that was in New York City, so I left New York City for Mills.
So actually Glass Bees was a band that you joined for a short time.
Yeah, I think.
That's okay.
I forget if it was a year or 2 years, but then we played again together when I came back. So I was back and forth to New York City a bit, so we played again a few more times after I moved, and they continued going. And then we, during the pandemic, we actually met back up, and we were going to work together, but Chris is in Germany, and it was really hard to find a program last year that would, with the lag time, like kind of
latency.
Think us up.
Yeah, it's a big
the latency.
Problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what
yeah.
about Creighton Files?
I think we...
Oh, you're more of a real-time band. Yeah, okay.
I think for me, like, it was more, I was trying to connect with people.
Yeah.
Like, I think they were into that, but I was like, I need people contact. I was so, like, busy with other things and computer stuff that I'm like, oh, I really wanted that. But who knows? The Zoom has gotten better. Like, there's lots of...
Won't use that shit. They sell your information. Fuck them.
They do.
There's other people working on. No, there's other people working on Andrea. They're going to try to solve this latency problems where we can jam in real time. And actually, some people on the show said they've been doing stuff, but they got to set up the situation where they can kind of be predictable and they can make the move ahead of time. to stay in the...
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, yeah. Humans can be resourceful, or they can be assholes. The thing about it, right? And you're just hoping you always meet them when they're in the fucking good mode, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've been collaborating with a videographer person, artist, making soundscapes for Meredith Drum. That's been what I've been doing. But I miss improv. I do miss improv, too.
Oh, sure. So, yeah. You know, I miss being able to run, but I fucked up my knee and I can't do it anymore.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But I got my hands and I can work the bass.
Yeah, we're all adaptable ninjas.
Look, we're at the end of the second hour, June 29, 2021. Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest Andrea Williams. Hold tight for hour three. June 29, 2021. It's the third hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
Thank you. Thank you. That was for all intents and purposes.
Walk for Pedro show. Starting a third hour off with, and Watt's got the correct information now. He almost blew it and blew it out of the water, right? This is Untitled Excerpt from More Nature. And then we had Says Number One. This is the part three of three. Blake Edwards turned me on to this live recording he had of Zeb's Proj, Oons, from 40 years ago, 1981, San Francisco, Tivoli. Says Number One. He was incredible. He would hang pieces. This is more of a spiel proj, but the Zeb thing, he'd almost be killed by this, his percussion shit. The gigs were dangerous. And then Prelude from, that's weird, people, we should probably play Prelude first, right? There's a T-Rex song that Minutemen used to cover off of Fear to Stars called Prelude. Or we said Prelude because we were idiots and didn't know. And this is Guided by Sound. What's Guided by Sound and what is More Nature, Andrea?
Oh, okay. So Guided by Sound is a collaboration with Dan Joseph, who's a musician, and he mostly plays hammer dulcimer and effects and field recordings. And I usually play field recordings and the room sound wherever we are and small instruments into the mic that kind of picks up the room and sends it back out. And it's very improv. And it's a great collaboration, so we haven't I think we last played together 2019. I'm forgetting, probably somewhere in Brooklyn. But yeah, Stan's great. We met at Harvest Works. We both work there. It's like a nonprofit digital arts center in down in on Broadway in New York City. So that's how I met Dan. And then I don't remember how we just started jamming together, but that was fun. And we played a lot of shows, and it's great performing with him. And earlier I had met More Nature. Is me and Wobbly, John Leidecker. He's based in San Francisco, so I met him when I was out there. And he really influenced my work in electronic, like, collage. He was part of Negative Land and still has collaborated with Negative Land. And I learned a lot just by listening to his work. And then we eventually collaborated, and we decided to just bring together our giant libraries of animal sounds and see if we could improvise, like have the animals improvise with each other.
Yeah.
And that's
so
what
in a way you're like a casting director for a movie.
Yeah, kind of. The animals seem to have their own personalities and they just go where they want to go. So these are older, this More Nature excerpt. You know, we just improvised, and that's what I did at Mills. That was fun. And we had speakers outside so you could look up at the forest and see and like listen to these weird sounds. So More Nature, that's from 2011. But then I moved back to the East Coast, and then just 2019 I performed at Mills with Wobbly, John Leidecker, as More Nature. And this time I don't have the recording. I couldn't find it in time to send it to you, but the animals seem to get angrier.
let me ask you something, Andrea. You keep using this word improvise as opposed to composed. So you compose as well as improvise.
Yes. I compose. I'd say though it's still playing, improvising. The room is always my collaborator, improvising with the space and sound. But composing for. I've made compositions, like solo ones, and like Silo was a solo composition
of mine.
You were
going to play? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And I composed for artists like Meredith Drum for their video. Like, I love working with her because I just look at a piece of hers and suddenly the composition just comes to me, usually like the whole thing, and then I just get to work through it and record the bits.
Well, we're
going to
play this thing called Architectural Body, and to me that sounds like something that's kind of composed.
Yes, I collaborated with some people, but yes, that was a composed piece on site. So you're kind of missing the elements of Innsbruck, Austria. This was a artist resident.
Good town.
Yeah, I loved it there. And
what's
the
it called?
It's
called the Tyrol.
Yes,
The incredible mountains, yeah. One time I got, as I was walking around, hardly nothing out there, right above all the snow, and two bullets say, your papers, please. out of nowhere. And, of course, Watt, you're right, when you're not in your country, you always have your passport. And so No problems. It's like out of nowhere, these two guys. That's, your paper, like with the movie, right? Your papers. Beat that.
From Poland? That's
No. Far. In Innsbruck, in Austria.
Oh, yeah.
Now let's play Architectural Bond.
your grave. You got your teeth in my neck, you got your head in the clouds. Want it so bad, I'm sitting with the dicks in the clouds. Sex, so whack, jot it down, you'll hack. Wow, nice tears, have yourself a cheap beer. Whoops, fake news, check your thoughts, you lose. Hey, nice packs, fastest pause when they flex. Oh, you got the teeth in my neck, you got your head in the claws. I want it so bad, I'm sitting with the dick in the claw. You got your teeth in my neck, you got your head in the claws. I want it so bad, I'm sitting with the dick in the claws. Whoa, no shit.
Thank you.
For Pedro Show, the last music for this edition, Andrea Williams. But not just Andrea Williams, because she said it was actually a collaboration. So Architectural Body, and then Sam Locke Ward from Iowa City with Vampire Baseball. That's a title. And by Crane and Skip Enga. Crane's up in Idaho, Utapim. Mooncatcher. There's a place up there called Craters of the Moon, because I lived there for a few months. I was a baby, but I went back, you know, because of Tor, and it's like lava. But it's where the first nuclear reactor, army reactor, there's a story on that. My pop had a couple months of training. Then Ron Ruins. He was, Ron Anderson was on the show a couple of hours, so this is him with the Ruins. A Fountain of Shit, that's a title. And then finally, Sleepwalks the Body of Dreams in Water. So actually, I think the project's called Sleepwalks.
Yes.
And then... Maybe the album was in the Body of Dreams and the piece is called In Water. Watts easily confused. So enlighten us to Architectural Body.
Sure. So I had a residency, an artist residency in Innsbruck, Austria for a few weeks. And it was at this place called Motel. And it's like for architects and artists. They have residencies and events. Mostly, you know, events for community, and the Alps are behind it. Like, you can see the beautiful, sure, like, backdrop of the Alps. But there's also, you
that's
can't
where
see
Italy
it from.
Is, in the Dolomiti.
My Ma's
people came from there.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Yeah, you can see, like, one side the Alps one way, and then you see, towards Italy, the Alps there, the Dolomites. I think that's what you said.
Yeah, no, Dolomiti, it means, it's plural for... Yeah, the Dolomites is how we say it.
Yeah, and like the Olympic ski lift or something.
That's right,
way back,
that's right.
That, like, that's there. So you can see all of this. And it's just, you know, to me, like, I was trying to bring the sounds of Austria to them. But it's, they wanted me to activate the space to try and bring a crowd of people to donate, because the on-ramp, it was going to become like an on-ramp. So the city was trying to add an on-ramp and take away this, like, really great DIY space.
Eingang, I think they say, right?
Hmm?
Eingang or something like that.
Asphalt. What's that?
On ramp in German. But so it was going to get demolished, is what you're saying. It was going to be destroyed, and you had to save it. They wanted you to help save it.
Yeah, I was like, okay. But no, I just ended up collaborating with some of the artists there. There was, I'm trying to remember his name. There was Anna Loschfirmer and Laura Boob. The last name is Boob. And Ludwig Technique. So there's this, like, heartbeat thing that he connected to himself during one of the pieces. And I handed out bells to the audience. But we collaborated with Grassmeyer Bell Foundry. They've been around since, like, the 1500s.
Yeah.
And they happened to be around the corner. And I found a sticker on something on site at Motel that had their name, and it turns out that they used to own that place. So I actually talked to them and was like, look, they're trying to put an on-ramp here, and can we... And it's a long story, but I ended up hanging out with the Grassmeyer Bell Foundry people, the owners, and I got to bless the world's largest singing bowl.
Oh,
drink schnapps and, like, watch it being forged out of, like, you know, lava. It was so amazing.
Wow.
And then they let me borrow... like, roll around the corner through town, these giant singing bowls, not the world's largest, but they were rather large, and they're upside down like bells, like, on this rack. And I got to improvise with those. Like,
I mean, the big difference is there's no clapper, people, so they just resonate without being, you know, ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, yeah. So it was really amazing, and it was like a 45-minute piece of different parts. And that activate different spaces on this area that people are. So the field recordings are from the actual mountains of, like, cowbells. The cows get bells.
Sure. So yeah, they can find them.
Yeah.
Look, where can
yeah.
people find you on the internet?
You can find me at www.listeninglistening.com.
That's a great URL.
Thank you.
Very clever. Very clever. And plans?
Plans. I get to teach undergrad students in the fall deep listening and recording and yeah.
But what about as far as like making music?
Making music. I probably have a project coming up with Meredith in the fall too. Right now it's like job hunt, pandemic.
Yeah, of course. I understand. You know, I'm
being
living
honest,
on this,
but I know
I'm living on the same planet, Andrea. I understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want other people to know, you know,
okay,
like that some people are still struggling and it's
absolutely,
hard.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't make light of it at all. I don't make a light of it. But
yeah,
you know what? I got hope. We're going to get through it. Nothing was canceled. Everything just postponed. We're going to get through it. It's been a big honor to have you.
Oh, wait. There's a show. If you look on my website, there's a virtual show of Meredith's and my work. Forgot to mention that. It's at Acola Grief and Fine Art Gallery, but it's like a virtual gallery, and it's really cool. It's called Mother Water, the exhibit, and our piece, Water in the Desert, 122 Fahrenheit, is in there.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot about that.
No, I'm glad you said that. It's a big honor to have you on the show. Thanks so much for being
Thank
here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Brutal Sound Effects crew, for making
Thank
the connect.
You.
People, it's been the June 29, 2021 edition of WAP Pedro, so keep your powder dry.